You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Hello.
I'm Hugh Fort.
I'm Rachel Nemeth.
And I'm Tom Canning, and welcome to episode 119 of the Real Reading Podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod, and you can search for Real Reading Podcast Group to join us on Facebook. So it's 2021. It's a fresh new year, new start. Everything is completely different and better, yeah?
Yeah, like overnight on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, just changed. Yeah. I think that's why I hate New Year's Eve or New Year's, that magic imaginary line in the sand. I think that's why I hate it the most, because you get so, you just think, right, okay, this is my year. And the reality is that it just flows on through from the previous day to the next day. And
all of a sudden it's January the 13th.
Yes.
It's changed.
Apart same from rubbish, different
Groundhog
year.
Groundhog Day existence. Mm.
We all still work from home and blah-de-blah-de-blah.
And we can't even say that, oh, but at least on New Year's Eve we had a good night out.
Yeah.
Because we didn't. So.
No, out of interest, in the interest of padding out what will be quite a short podcast anyway, what did you do for New Year's Eve?
Beige buffet.
Well, yes, same.
And watched Jules Holland. Managed to stay up until about 12:30 and then went to bed. Very exciting. How about you guys?
Yeah, I was. We got a takeaway and got Chinese, and in classic fashion, I thought I could just rock up at the Chinese at about 7:00 and get my takeaway, and we ended up getting it at 9:20.
Oh,
so so it's pretty much New Year by the time we finished having dinner. So did manage to stay up and watch the fireworks. And then I was working the next day, so I went to bed after that. Just what can you say? Groundhog year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Near us did have some fireworks.
Oh, God, yeah.
They must have spent, it wasn't annoying me because it's New Year's Eve, it's midnight, you expect there to be a few bangers going off, but somebody must have spent hundreds and hundreds of pounds, which we weren't complaining about because we went out the front and watched them. But
I was staying at my mum and dad's in Bracknell for that evening, because we were in a support bubble with them because of our under 1 year old child, just before anybody ats me on Twitter. Got to defend myself, but no, our baby decided to have her first ever meltdown on New Year's Eve. We were sort of thinking, we'll probably just put her down to bed, see if we can come down for a bit, or we'll just go to bed anyway. So she had a right old meltdown, couldn't settle her. Ended up having to go and find some emergency Calpol from one of my mum's friends, because it looked like she was in pain. I think she was just overtired, but obviously got excited by the thought of New Year's Eve. So got her down to bed about 10:40, and then it occurred to me, there's about to be an artillery barrage outside the window.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, she slept through it, but God, it was half an hour of just angst. Will she wake up? Won't she? Because it's taken us the best part of 4.5 hours to get her to sleep. Oh God, it was tense.
Poor little thing.
I know. I don't know whether,
like, a proper red in the face one.
Yeah. Like needs to poo or something. But just
nice.
Yeah. There you go, listeners.
She's not old enough for teeth yet, is she?
No. Well, we were wondering if it was teething. They do. Apparently, that can happen as early as 3 months, but that seemed a bit.
I'm so glad you can't remember that when you've grown.
Yeah.
Aren't teeth weird? Right.
Yeah.
When you're really little, you grow your teeth, and then when you're slightly less little, all your teeth fall out, and you grow new teeth, and then those teeth are the teeth you have until you die. Yes. Isn't that weird? That's such a weird thing.
Have you ever seen an x-ray of a child's jaw?
Weird. It's
with
weird.
The big teeth underneath already there.
Like a shark.
Yeah,
but
it's really
weird.
Every
time weird. A shark loses a tooth, it grows another one. But we just got two sets. And then we have, and then suddenly you get another couple of teeth appearing sometimes if you're an adult, you're an adult as well, which is extremely uncomfortable. What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. I only had three. You're meant to have four, aren't you? No. But one of mine just never happened.
I've got, mine have never come all the way through. I've got four, but they're all in various different states of still in my gum. They've never come all the way through, and they've never caused me any problems, but it's weird.
Yeah, that's probably because you're not very wise. My understanding is the better your wisdom teeth are, the more wise you are.
So I'm only three quarters wise.
Yeah,
because I was missing one.
Semi-wise.
And actually, I've had them all taken out now anyway, so I'm no
more
wise.
but you say that.
The fact that that was not very good grammatically proves.
More room for brains, though.
Oh yeah, true. Maybe that's
more
what it was.
Yeah,
I think it could be.
So on that note then, I've written here, this won't flow at all, but I've written it in the script, so I'm going to read it. Never fear though, we're here to keep you entertained for a short period of time each week. And although we've got a shortened pod this week as we work our way back to full match fitness after one mince pie too many, we hope you'll enjoy it. In the meantime, here's Jeremy with how you can get in touch with us.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @RealReadingPod and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy. We move straight into our little headline section. Three stories making the news. I wasn't entirely sure the world needed another think piece on free school meals, but here we are. Berkshire Live has a piece on a Reading mum who was given what appears to be £3 worth of food for her free school meal. I guess, Rach, you're probably the closest one of us to having a child at school.
In that I have a child at
school.
You
have a child at school, yes.
Well, technically not at the moment.
No. But I guess
homeschooling have resumed.
what have you made of everything that's been going? Because I guess the big issue is that these are supposedly £30 food hampers, and hampers conjures up all kinds of luxury. And I know you should never always take what goes around on social media as a given, because you know sourcing this stuff and making sure it's correct. But frankly, if Marcus Rashford is tweeting it, then that is good enough for me.
Can I just interject very quickly?
You can.
It is actually £15. It's not £30.
Okay.
That's one of the things that's come out about this particular tweet that's not right. I think £30 has got two children.
Right.
Yeah,
fine.
I was going to say, I read a few different articles and different sources on this, and yeah, some say 30, which, like you said, it must be for multiple kids. Some say 15.
Yeah.
Some said £10.50, including like the cost of sorting the pack out and getting it shipped off to whoever it's going to and stuff. But
either way, I feel like that's
a shameful
amount of food.
I don't think anybody expects it to be, you know, like a weekly shop.
No,
nobody would expect that. But the pictures that I've seen on social media, you just look at it and think, what on earth are you supposed to do with that? You know, so if it's for a week for a child, there was five pieces of fruit. Okay, great. One for each day of the week. Fine. There was a loaf of bread. Great. No margarine or butter or anything, but hopefully they might already have that in the fridge for the rest of the family. But the only thing you've got to put in a sandwich is what we call here plastic cheese.
Yeah. I think everybody does, but or burger cheese, as it's
it's only good for burgers. Yeah. Maybe a hot dog if you're pushing the boundaries, but nothing else sort of to go with it—a tomato or something. But the one that really confused me was the bag of pasta.
Yeah,
because there was nothing to go with the pasta. There was sort of no pasta sauce. There was no tuna. No, whatever you like to put, there was nothing. Just plain cooked pasta. So I can understand people's frustration at the contents of it, because it was rubbish.
So
I'm not sure that the quantities were horrific, because if they were, well, particularly for primary school children, I know this, the story that we're going to look at was that the lady had older children, teenagers, so that it might be slightly different. But I think that would certainly be enough food for Zachary for a week. It's just the food they got. You couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't particularly healthy either.
So the story that's on Berkshire Live this morning, I think it went up today. There was a, by today, I mean Wednesday, when we are recording this on Wednesday, the 13th of January. It's Elaine Stacey, a mum from Reading, who was given a food parcel worth £3 to feed her 17-year-old son for a week. And it contained a loaf of bread, weighed out pasta in a sandwich bag, three jelly pots and a jar of Dolmio sauce. You know, I'm obviously a 37-year-old man, but certainly one jar of Dolmio sauce would not do me on some pasta for a week, let alone a growing 17-year-old boy. I think she says during the previous lockdown, she was given £15 food vouchers. And speaking to PA, because this story, Hugh, am I right? This is a story from the Press Association rather than an investigation. But Miss Stacey is a carer, and unfortunately it got to the point where she was going to go hungry herself, and I guess she suggests looking at pawning her jewellery to kind of try and pay for, and just to make things worse, her son has Huntington's disease, ASD and ADHD, which are tough enough in a fully functioning world, let alone the current world that we were in. So dreadful situation to be in. And I guess there have been a couple of comments on the story actually about people offering to help, which has been really, really heartwarming. But I guess in this grand scheme of things, it does seem that not enough care has, it's great that free school meals are going out, but not enough care has been taken to ensure that they are actually worth the tub that they've been chucked in. I don't know, just because you always get, especially on social media, you'll always get people having a go at people receiving free school meals, but because you shouldn't be, well, you shouldn't be poor then. That feels like this general thing. But I've just pulled up the Reading Borough Council qualifications to receive free school meals. And the qualifications are income support, income-based job seekers allowance, income-related employment and support allowance, support under Part 6, I think I've got my Roman numerals the right way around there, the Immigration and Asylum Act 99, guaranteed element of pension credit, child tax credit, provided you're not also entitled to working tax credit run-on, which is paid 4 weeks after you stop qualifying for working tax credit, or universal credit. You apply on or after the 1st of April 2018. Your household income must be less than £7,400. And there are a couple of other things on there as well. But I think it's very easy for the three of us to sit here and be kind of aghast at this, but it's obviously happening up and down the country. And from my point of view, it's absolutely shameful that in this, you know, in Britain as a modern country, that this is even something we have to get annoyed about. I will try.
I think authorities are already recognising that the packs that they're sending out aren't adequate and are trying to address it. And I suppose they did have to turn things around pretty quickly. They weren't given a huge amount of warning, but I guess the people in charge have to sit back and think, would that be adequate?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, though. Free school meals have been going out during a pandemic for I guess over a year now. So the fact that, you know, it wouldn't have taken, all they'd have needed would be to get one parent in and go, is this enough? Because clearly they're not spending all of that money that they're getting on, and I appreciate some of it has to go to pay workers to pack these things and transport and all that stuff. But I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't remember these arguments previously, if people were getting vouchers before.
Well, this is, the vouchers have changed, didn't it? It's changed to these because the voucher, I don't know, I guess people were worried that vouchers were going to be spent on things other than free school meals, but I'm not sure that was that was possible because they were vouchers for specific things. I think I don't know. This is now it's getting into the realms of things I don't know because I don't have a child on free school meal, so I'm not sure at this point. But I think at the end of the day, it wouldn't have taken much to just get a parent to look at that pack and go, that'd probably last a day.
Yeah. Although, like I said, it wasn't so much the quantity. It was what was in it that you couldn't create meals out of it. So it was completely wasted. That's the ironic thing, is that it probably some of it would go to waste because what can you do with that?
I'll crack on with my banana and Dolmio pasta bake later on.
Yeah. Well, you could have a banana sandwich. That's banana on toast. That's not horrendous.
That's true.
Not massively nutritious, maybe, as a rounded meal.
Should we move on to the second story on our agenda, which is the news that Reading Borough Council has raked in nearly £500,000 in fines from just one bus lane. Now, wow. I mean, Hugh, you've written this story.
I write this story every year, and it's always the same bus lane. It's the bus lane in Minster Street in Reading, where and it always catches by far the most drivers.
Where's Minster Street?
So off Broad Street down towards Gun Street, I think.
Oh, okay. Like the
yes. Sort
of back of Primark and the Oracle through there.
Yeah.
John Lewis. Back of John Lewis.
That's the one, yeah. And people get caught there the entire time.
So you're not allowed to drive through there at all? Or no. It's like time restrictions or?
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to drive there at all, but I could be wrong. But yeah, it's the same lane every year. And caught them out about the same amount as it did last year. It was over 14,000, 14,793, I think. Which is quite a lot, but to caveat, that's 2019-20 sort of financial year, so COVID would not have had an effect on these figures. So it's essentially pre-pandemic, which is why they're about the same as the year before. Council says in its report this year that it's expecting a massive drop in the number of everything to do with its car parks, its roads, bus lanes, car parks, parking fines, all that stuff for between March and April this year, understandably. And so all the money that they raise from, it's important to point this out because people think that it's just a money making operation, finding people. All the money goes back into traffic projects around the area. I think the report states that the reason why that you get fined if you drive down a bus lane is because they're for buses and not for not for cars, and you're not supposed to drive them down. And the whole point is to try to have public transport only areas to make public Reading buses what it is, and as quick as it is and efficient as it is. And if people drive down a bus lane, I think in Minster Street, I am guessing here, but I'd say a lot of the time in Minster Street, people do it by accident. There's no real benefit from driving down there in a car. A lot of the bus lanes, just for example, in Bath Road, if you were to just drive down the bus lane all the way in Bath Road, you'd get to where you're, or in Wokingham Road, you'd get to where you're going a lot quicker, which is why that you're not supposed to drive in them. And that's why you get fined, because they're shortcuts. Yeah. So that's what the situation is with regards to these fines. This is an annual report they put out around this time every year, just showing how many people have been fined, how much money has been generated from these fines. But it's not like it all sits in a pot. It gets redistributed into other projects. While it's annoying, I once got fined for driving the bus lane in Reading Station twice within the same 10-second period, where I went round a roundabout from one into the other without realising it.
Don't forget Castle Hill.
Oh, Castle Hill, yeah, when, I've been fine there from my back wheel going into the bus lane as well.
Multiple occasions.
Yes, on at least two occasions, I think, possibly in successive days.
Yeah. I suppose with Minster Street, if you come up King's Road towards town centre, maybe by the time you kind of get to that bend where Prezzo's is.
Yeah, it's the only way road to go down.
Yeah.
So, exactly. You can't turn off.
Yeah.
So I guess I've got two schools of thought here. The first one is that has been bus only for an awful long time. Just looking at the picture, there is a specific time I think you can go down there. I think it's looking at the picture, and this might be an old picture, so forgive me, but it looks like it says 4 p.m. till there's certainly a period of time where I think you can go down there. That may well have changed. This may be an old picture. There's certainly a lot of people in this picture, so it's certainly not a recent picture.
No.
But that has been there as a bus lane for a long, long time. So it's not like it's a new one catching them out. But I guess my other side of the fence point of view is that if that many people are being caught every year repeatedly, then clearly the signage isn't strong enough.
True.
Or it needs to be. Then it needs to be it needs to be stronger in terms of. I mean, there are signs there clearly, but there are also traffic lights telling traffic to go left. So, you know, clearly the signage there is not working, but and in some ways, obviously, you know, the council used that money, as you say, Hugh, to put into traffic. So losing that money is a bad thing. But
well, it's useful money, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I don't, you know, in a kind of sort of slightly sadistic way, if there was a way of knowing if it was out of towners, then I'd have less of a problem with it. But if it's people from Reading being fined, I'm not quite so up for that.
Yeah, I think
I don't mind Johnny out of town.
I don't mind
Johnny out of town of being fined to pay for our traffic projects. But
I think generally, if you get a fine for anything, would be it parking, speeding, or going to a bus lane, no one will ever listen to you if you say, "Well, I didn't know he was there."
Yeah.
So that is not really an excuse in any walk of life. In that you should be alert enough to work out.
Oh, of course, and especially in a busy pedestrian area like that, you should be alert. But it just the figures seem to be the same most years, and it does suggest that perhaps the signage isn't working as well as it perhaps could. And I'm not sure how much confidence I would have if I drove up King's Road there and wanted to turn around. I'm not sure. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm not sure if I would feel confident about turning around there. I don't know. Especially if there was a couple of big buses up behind you.
True.
I'd probably, oh, I'll take
the wanting
final.
To use their lane.
Yeah, quite rightly.
I mean, it's the same one every year. So you are probably correct in saying that there may be an issue with it. But the council would just say, you're not supposed to drive in bus lanes. And so
fine. That's fair enough. You know.
And it's a good source of income.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've had all their income taken away from various other sources. So I'm sure they have to think of these ways of generating stuff,
I mean,
money to do things with. It's about councils with money is that they spend it on things. It's not like they just sort of sit on it.
Don't hoard it. Yeah. I mean, on the plus side, the council have achieved a reduction in cars in the town centre, so over the last year. So, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there will be fewer road repairs required this year because nobody's been allowed to drive anywhere.
Maybe.
Maybe
okay.
We'll balance out.
The final story is that was more fun than I thought it was going to be talking about same fines. But
were you suggesting you thought it was going to be boring?
I wasn't sure what we were going to get out of it, but we've done a good bit. So. The final story is that the 9 of the most notoriously ugly buildings in Berkshire. Hugh asked me for some opinions, and I don't believe he's included any of my opinions in this piece. This is
overall.
It is a couple of weeks old. I suggested the place in Bracknell that has replaced the old 3M building is incredibly ugly. Well, I can't remember what else I did suggest the old Murdoch's pub on the A4, which you have included.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that one. So
yeah.
That.
Come on, just build the flats. We all know you're going to build flats. Just build them.
Yeah, if ever a building needed knocking down and replacing with a nice block of flats, then that is it. It's just, you can see it from miles away.
Yeah.
And it sticks out like the proverbial sore thumb.
I was also pleased to see that you reused my Meadway Precinct picture as well, Hugh. That is particularly grim.
It is. I believe the word to describe that is dated.
Yes.
It's Berkshire, the whole of Berkshire. This.
Not just Reading.
Yeah. So there's your old friend, the Point Royal Flats in Bracknell, which is an extraordinary building, which is considered to be a great piece of architecture. It's really not. So,
Rach, what's your favourite of these? And is there anything
missed? On those Point Royal Flats, they look like they could be in Benidorm or somewhere. Especially with the nice blue sky behind them.
Yeah, that is a very old picture of them, I must admit.
God, ugly buildings. I'm sure we've got loads in Reading.
I mean, the whole area by the police station.
My favourite one got knocked down.
Which one was that?
The Castle Grayskull one got knocked down.
Oh, the metal box.
On Forbury Road. That was pretty ugly.
I always liked the King's Point with the eyes.
Yes. That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
And that's been replaced with a block of very swanky, expensive flats, which are much nicer to the landscape, but somewhat lacking in its character.
I think you've been a bit
unfair
on... Any of
our concrete car parks aren't particularly pretty, are they?
Oh, Garage Street,
particularly ugly. I do feel you've been a bit unfair on the Bristol and West Arcade, Hugh. There's nothing... It's just it's down, it's run down and decrepit. If someone spruced it up a bit, I'm sure it'd look very nice.
But that's the plan.
Yes, this is true. Is there any missing from this list, Rach, do you think? I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I'm still going with them. The thing that's replaced the 3M building, I'm still sticking with that one in Bracknell, because that's awful. It's a Stairway to Nowhere, I think, is what I called it.
Stairway to Nowhere. Yeah. Just that whole bit around the Civic Centre, which I know at some point there'll be something awesome will go there. What, the Hexagon? Is that harsh? It's not very pretty. I know when it was built, when was it, the 60s? It was probably the height of architecture, but it's not particularly pretty, is it? Can you imagine if you were a famous person touring and then you pull up in that sort of underground bit where the stage doors are? Like, oh, this is nice. I can't think off the top of my head. I should have had a little brainstorm, shouldn't I?
Wow. You didn't know I was going to ask you that, in fairness.
No.
All right. Shall we? We'll leave it there. Those are our headlines this week. That's it for part one. We're going to move into part two and we'll go straight to the random question, which I feel like is one we've possibly had before, but never mind. It's new year, new questions, even if they're the same questions.
The random question.
Hey guys, we're back. It's random question time. Where was your best birthday party? Hugh, I know you have some strong
Hugh's excited
feelings.
Go on.
Laser Quest at the top of London Street. There was a warehouse where you could play Laser Quest from the age, I think you must have had birthday parties there when you were a little bit older, so maybe for the age about 10 plus, you would run around with your laser gun and your laser pack trying to shoot other people with your laser and not get shot yourself. And it was always an excellent birthday party. What would happen is your group would turn up and there'd be about, say, 10 of you, and then you'd play, and then there'd be a couple of other random people who went to play Laser Quest every week as their hobby. And what they would do is they would pick out your dad and follow him around. And every time they shot him, and it's because your pack depleted, didn't it, for like 10 seconds. And then they would wait for 10 seconds and then his pack would come on and they'd shoot your dad again and repeat the process for the entire game. Your dad would end up on about minus 5,000 in a mood, have been completely outwitted by a child. And that would be the game. The rest of you would have great fun shooting each other and parents would be persecuted by these professional laser questers. That's the Laser Quest experience.
Can you still go to Laser Quest? I know not the one in London Street.
I don't know.
Yeah, there are some around. Is there one? I think it's making a bit of a quirky retro comeback. We went on our cricket tour to Bristol maybe 4 or 5 years ago and it was raining, so we didn't play our game, and we went and had an epic game of Laser Quest instead. And again, there are still these weird little kids there who are amazing at it. There's obviously a thing in the West Country as well.
Little else to do down there, is there? just looking at this, the nearest, there's one in, and I'm sure there's one.
There's one in Maidenhead.
Yes, I think you're right. Absolutely laser tag. Yeah.
It's not
Super
as catchy
Bowl,
as Laser Quest, is it?
No.
Absolutely laser tag.
Me and my friends, ages ago, went on an outdoor Laser Quest as well, which is like an army thing. It's like, if you can imagine Laser Quest crossed with paintball, you'd be running around the woods, but with laser guns. And it was so hard to shoot each other. There was one ridiculous moment where my mate and I like jumped out on each other and we're standing about a foot apart in the good old days when you could stand about a foot apart. And we're trying to shoot each other and just couldn't hit, just kept missing in a real like gunfight. We would both been killed. But in that, you couldn't hit the target because it's on your helmet in a little circle. It's really hard to hit.
It's less painful than paintballing as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah. And this carry on.
I'm on this Absolutely Laser Tag website now. It looks like it's for kids, but I don't know. They must do an adult event. Come on. Because I'd be up for that.
They must do.
Be well up for that.
Another team night out, I feel.
Suitable
got the
for children between
on the list.
5 and 13 years old.
We're going to have such fun when COVID finishes.
We're going to go mental.
When we have our when we get vaccinated in 2023, we're going to run wild.
I've had a precautionary COVID test this morning.
Oh.
My first one.
Should you be talking to us?
Are you sitting in a rocking chair, right?
I am, yeah. Do I look like an old lady?
A little bit. I feel like you're
knitting.
Knitting
out in a minute. Yeah, it was my first COVID test. I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but I just assumed the one where they swab the back of your throat would be horrific and the nose one not so much, but actually it was the opposite way around. The throat one was fine, but the nose one felt like... Yeah. I had the biggest sneeze about to come, like sort of tingly and stingy a bit. it's very odd, but very quick and efficient. So hopefully I don't have it.
Rach, just quickly, did you have a favourite birthday?
Oh, yeah, back to that. Well, childhood-wise, because my birthday's Halloween. Mm. Oh, it explains a lot. I know, getting there first, which... But I did have quite a few Halloween-themed parties, as you'd imagine. But probably the one I remember was actually just down the road from you, Hugh, at Sonning Common Village Hall, my black and white-themed party, which may have been when I was 10, with DJ Andy Busby with his Wheels of Steel, I believe, was hired.
Nice little plug there.
Why I remember that name, I have no idea. But as an adult, probably my 30th at the Moderation on Caversham Road was pretty epic. Fancy dress.
I don't think I went. I was invited to that, right?
Oh, that's a bit awkward, isn't it? I think you were invited. I think you were busy.
He was quite busy. Yeah. He was quite busy back then.
Well, yeah, you spun that round, right?
Everyone had to dress up with as something beginning with the letter R for Rach. And because it was Halloween that weekend, the pub had hired a live band anyway, which sort of looked like I'd done it, but I hadn't. So it was just a really great night. Tom, I believe you were Ray Stance of Ghostbusters.
I was indeed. I was indeed. That was good fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I was Robin Hood.
Yes.
I could have come as The Rock had I been invited.
Just in a tiny pair of briefs.
No,
good job. You were busy.
Yeah, I would have found another way of dressing up. nobody wants to see that. And I don't quite think I would have been able to relax if I'd been dressed like that. I'm not one of those types. I'm not a rugby player, so therefore, don't have that level of self confidence to strut around like that.
My dad, bless him, came as a Roman and wore a toga. He was not very comfortable either.
Oh dear, it was good fun.
It was a good night. Dear. And then obviously ended up in the After Dark.
Yeah, we should talk about the After Dark next week.
Yeah.
Sad times. I'll see if I can arrange some special guests to come and talk about the After Dark. How about that? And we can get sad
really
again.
Nostalgic.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, that is it for this week. Is that right? Is that okay? Sorry. There will be a baby and a mother bumbling through the door very shortly. So silence will be... struggling for words.
You sent them out for a...
Yeah, they've gone out for a little walk. Yeah, they've gone out for a bit of a walk, so...
I felt a bit guilty because my neighbour's having a new kitchen put in. And
you grassed them up to the feds.
No, I didn't grass them up to the feds.
You're allowed to have work done in your house.
I think they decided to start knocking tiles off the wall at about 10 to 11 when we were starting at 11. I was like, oh, no. The whole house was shaking. So Rich, bless him, went and knocked around and went, could you maybe do something else for about an hour and then you can resume so that Rach can do the podcast. So that was nice.
Do you like them? Do you get on with them?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, they're nice.
That's all right.
Nice. And they have been very quiet for the last hour. So well, good neighbours.
Excellent. Should we leave it there then?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Here's Jeremy. If you'd like to get in touch with us and tell us about your favourite birthday party.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. That's all we have for this week. We'll be back next week with, I think, what might be an After Dark remembrance special. We'll see who I can round up.
We all have a can of Red Stripe ready.
I think we might. We could do if we did like late night Real Reading.
Yeah. Get some of the old DJs on.
Yeah.
But like Hollyoaks late night.
I'll go out. I'll break restrictions. I'll go out. I'll go and source you some Red Stripe and I'll bring it round and I'll leave it there and I can then watch you drink it with glee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's not one you'd choose to drink, is it?
Nope.
Unless you'd already been elsewhere and then end up in the After Dark with your beer tokens.
Yeah. Right. If you have a moment, please give us a rating or a review, a rating and a review on your favourite pod. I think we've had a review for nearly 2 years on iTunes, which is really sad. We'd love another review. That would be nice. Nice review. That'd be great. But we'll be back next week for more Reading podcast goodness. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.